Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork. But somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Friday afternoon, the clouds have moved in just a little bit, but it is warm and sticky out there, as Dave Murray has said. We have, I think, a pretty decent weekend, though. Fred, I think I saw rain in the forecast for Sunday. Is that what you're
saying? Right, a little bit Sunday.
I don't like that. I don't like that very much. Are you getting out to the ball game at
all? I am. I'm going to Saturday's game. Remember, I miscalculated. I thought I was going this past Saturday.
Oh, that's right.
Started to the ballpark, got halfway down here, looked on my phone to see, you know, about my tickets. And it's today.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, it's tomorrow.
Oh, Fred,
it's
June. That.
Yeah.
Terrible.
So I turned around, went back home.
So JC got option to Memphis, I think. And then they have Nootbaar in the lineup
right
tonight leading off. Weatherholt is hurt. He wasn't there the other night. I guess he's got some lower body soreness. I don't want to say he's hurt, but he's maybe they're just being, you know,
cautious.
Frank will tell us a little bit later this afternoon. All right, I got a couple things here before we get into Sue's news. Paul Hall is going to join us with entertainment news in the next hour. We got a bunch of stuff scheduled in the next hour. We're going to talk about the big race over in Illinois, the IndyCar race. Scott Jago will be here from Saratoga. The Belmont Stakes take place not at Belmont Park because they're still renovating that. And then Mike Morrow, Sue knows him very well. He's
Yay.
The mayor of Grafton. Details on the dedication of the National Memorial of Military Ascent, which is really, really amazing. So a couple things I wanted to do here. One has to do with we love our dogs. We all love our dogs here at the Mark Reardon Show. Here's a story from The Athletic that starts with the Dateline Paris. Melanie Gauthier's Knopf's job at the French Open has nothing to do with playing tennis. She spends her days helping the hundreds of players who have come through their gates over the past couple of weeks for care for their dogs. And I guess she gives massages to those who need it after a long day of running around. And when it's unseasonably hot, she opens a pool so people have a place to cool down. But this is for the dogs. Okay, it's not for the players. She is the first dog concierge employed by Roland Garros. So this is like an official position to look after the pets that the tennis top players tote around from tournament to tournament throughout the year, across borders, overseas, so the competitors can focus on performing at their peak. And usually these, as you might imagine, are small dogs, right, Fred? You
oh,
have
yeah.
a small dog.
Right.
I have one small dog. And they talk about one mini dachshund named Bella who bounds down the hall and trusts that the French Open quarterfinalist Anna Kalinskaya isn't far behind. That's Bella's owner. But I thought it was interesting
probably
because
I
do think, well, yeah, there's no doubt about that. But I always wonder this even about, you know, people who are on the road. It's
Wait,
tough to
why?
Have dogs. Dachshunds. That's what small dogs do.
Yeah.
That's what Olaf is, a wired-haired dachshund, and he pees on everything.
I'm serious. It's a known thing with the dachshunds.
Well, that's true. When I take her, Luna, for walks, she'll go like 20 times while I'm out. But never in the house, 20 times
outside.
But
if I would take Olaf to your house or to Sue's house, he would pee.
Yeah.
I mean, he would just mark like he does. You know, he doesn't do it in my house, but he marks. Like I finally at a certain point, you know, because we love to take, well, our dog that passed away, Duke, into Pet Supplies Plus. And I mean, whenever I would take Olaf, he'd pee. So I felt bad. I'm like, I'm not going to make them clean up after him.
Exactly.
So I banned him. I gave him a lifetime ban.
You self-banned.
Right, exactly.
I had to rescue Luna yesterday on our walk after work. I was walking down the street and here came a fierce, equally small dog running down the street. Apparently got out of its owner's house.
Uh-oh.
So I had to pick up Luna in my arms and hold her up in the air until the dog backed off.
Wow.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
All right. So I have a musical thing that I wanted to do here. I might even do some of this when we hook up again with Tim Summer, maybe even next Friday. But you guys probably know this song by Stephen Bishop, which is called On and On. Big hit in the 70s, right?
Oh, well, Jimmy sits alone in
the... So here's the deal.
This is Yacht Rock.
Well, exactly. Okay, so this is what Keith Urban is doing, a Yacht Rock album, right?
Yeah.
And he's doing this song, On and On. He has not released this one yet, okay? But he has released some of the other ones, like...
we played them.
Right. Well, I'm going to remind you,
because
he's releasing more, is my point.
Oh,
and the whole album is not out yet. So he does Steal Away, Robbie Dupree. Pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Summer Breeze.
Oh, I love Summer Breeze.
It doesn't start it any different. Yeah, that's a good song. But so the whole album is going to be like that. I want to keep the sing here a little bit. Let's do Magnet and the Steel. Stephen Bishop, and now I was sent this, and I'm just going to tell you that he has a wife that is very much younger than him. I'm talking like, I thought she looked like his daughter, like 22 years old. Apparently, she's in her 30s. But she did something very interesting on Instagram, and she broke down because Keith's going to do that song On and On the album, right? He's maybe going to do it in concert as well. So how much money does Stephen Bishop make from all that? Because he's got his publishing rights. He's a songwriter.
How much does a songwriter make when Keith Urban covers one of their songs? Well, I also got my Elton John glasses yesterday. They are pretty wild. They are prescription and they are transition. So when I go outside, they do turn dark. But as you know, my husband, Stephen Bishop, wrote the song On and On, and Keith Urban is coming out with an album on June 12th called Flow State, and On and On is on that album, and Stephen owns 100% of the publishing, so how much could he make? The least amount he could make and the most amount he could make. Let's go through it. So many people have been asking me to do this video, and I wrote to one of my lawyers and I said, hey, can you break it down for me? And he just sent me an email on a Saturday, so thank you. So for physical and digital album sales, and they pay the legal statutory rate of 12.4 cents per physical copy or full album downloaded. So he said if you take 100,000 physical copies or album downloads, Stephen would get $12,400 from that. 250,000 physical copies sold, he would get $31,000 from that.
All right, so it's a little easier when you watch this on Instagram because she like prints out the numbers as well, but she breaks down all the math. And look, this will leave you with the impression of a lot of these artists that may even have a real big streaming song, they're not getting much money from that at all. But there is a way to cash in, and she'll get to that.
From streaming, Spotify, Apple, the industry pool pays typically, he said, around $3,000 to $4,000 per million streams based on royalty rates and the deals that you have. Because Stephen owned 100% of the publishing, remember, guard your publishing, his specific publishing slice, mechanicals and performance, pulls in roughly $600 to $700 per 1 million streams. So 10 million streams, Stephen would get $6,500, 50 million streams, $32,500, 100 million streams, $65,000.
So I don't know, like Keith Urban would have a lot of streams. Maybe he would have 10 million streams, right? I don't know if he had 50 million streams. He's a big artist though, right? And that's across the planet. So you can make a little money doing that.
Now let's talk about touring. Keith tours all the time and we hope to see him in person and on tour. And so Stephen is with ASCAP. We love ASCAP. That is paid directly from blanket licensing fees that the venues have to pay. So whenever an artist plays like a song live in a major arena or anywhere where there's public, you know, music playing, they have to pay. So for an artist on Keith's scale.
This is interesting. And I didn't know, look, we have to pay these licensing fees here at radio stations as well. And we have for years.
To our lawyer, this averages $3,000 to $5,000 per night per song. Keith does not have to pay that. The venues have to pay that to the performing rights organization, and then they pay Stephen. So if Keith does a standard 40-date tour, Stephen could get an additional $120,000 a year just from Keith touring. If he does a massive arena tour, the bigger the stadium, the more money. Stephen can get anywhere between $240,000 to $300,000. $1,000.
So what she was doing here is she was trying to give you like a minimum maximum of how you would, you know, come from the lowest amount of money that he might be able to earn to the highest.
Now for terrestrial play radio, if it's top 20 hits, Stephen can get $40,000 to $60,000. If it's a top 10, $100,000 to $150,000. If it's a number one from recurrent airplay, $250,000 to $400,000 from radio alone. So the minimum Stephen can make without touring is $18,900. The absolute maximum is about $825,000 with touring, and the minimum with touring is about $140,000. So hopefully it becomes a number one. On and On really deserves it, and we are so excited for this album, and we are really big Keith Urban fans.
I thought that was interesting. She was really, but I mean, here's the thing, like he's 74, and then they don't even give her age. The quote is, she says they're 6 years apart in dog years. So take that for what it's worth. But if you see her, she seriously is so young looking.
Yeah,
but look,
I just
they're a happy couple.
Up.
They have a son named Stephen as well. But I thought it was fascinating. Really, that's interesting.
She is his manager, I guess.
Yes, she's
which
his
is
manager
why,
too.
Yeah, okay.
I think she's about 34. That's I think the best guess. But wow. I mean that now you take that. That's a guy, you know, that many people probably wouldn't even know his name, but they might know that song for sure. But think about all these artists, and I know a lot of them, you know, like touring musicians and people. My friend Neil Sosik from here, from the Mighty Pines. I mean, they're working musicians, and they really are working because they could have a lot of streams, you know, several hundred thousand streams or even a million streams, and you're not getting that much money. That's why they have to tour, right? That's why they have to sell merch, all of those things. So, you know, there is a big range. I did not know that if the band covers the song that the ASCAP fees would be, you know, pulled out of the pool. That's how they're getting money from radio, too, because of licensing fees.
Yeah.
We got Sue's News coming up.
Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers. And someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money. And most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
I'm Hannah. I've lost 75 pounds in 20 months with GLP-1s, plus diet and exercise. On Row, I've gone from struggling to run a mile to running farther every day. You can access FDA-approved GLP-1s online. Get the support you need to reach your weight loss goals. Go to row.co/weight to see if you qualify. I'm a paid Row partner. 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 3.1% in placebo arm. RX only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/weight.
Well, as we kind of segue into the official part of summer, Paul Hall's going to have some entertainment recommendations, a bunch of new shows. One series that I'm very interested in, the Cape Fear new Apple TV Plus spinoff on that. And that looks very compelling. And then Your Friends and Neighbors with John Hamm, the finale was released last night. I've not yet watched it, but I thought the second season with James Marsden's been really good. So we'll run across that. We have Cusumano coming up. First, we got to do this. No, Mark, don't do that. Here we go.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Oh, you know what? On this day in history, wasn't very uplifting today because it was 58 years ago in 1968 when Robert F. Kennedy was shot at the Ambassador Hotel in L.A., just after winning the California Democratic primary, and he passed away the next day. It's just depressing, but when I see this stuff, I think, well, I should mention that, right? It's a big deal. But then I read this. 55 years ago today, in 1971, Six Flags Over Mid-America opened in Eureka. It was 55 years ago today. And at the same time, okay, and at this time, right? Okay, it's 1971. What do you remember about Six Flags at the beginning? Do you remember the opening, Fred?
I don't remember the opening, but I remember a couple things. I remember it seemed like it was a day trip to get there.
Oh, my gosh.
It took
that
forever.
Is so accurate.
You know, no matter where you lived, it took you forever to get out there.
Yeah, because Eureka wasn't really that built up back then.
Right.
No, I lived in Baldwin, and we would take, and unfortunately, I went to high school with a guy that passed away on, I don't know what it would have been, 109. Like, it was just so twisty and turny to get back there, right?
Right.
And it still is, but back then, even more hazardous, right?
Okay, wait, what were you
saying? I also remember Old Glory Amphitheater.
Sure.
Yes,
we've talked about that before.
Oh, yeah. My goodness, yes. Okay, here, it only had 16 rides at the beginning.
That's it?
16, and they included the log flume, which at the time was called, I kid you not, hoo-hoo. Okay, I don't remember that at all. H-O-O-H-O-O.
No, I don't remember that at all.
And then they say, and the mine train. The mine train was one of the original ones. The roller coaster, if you don't know what I'm talking about. But its official name was the River King Mine Train.
Oh, yeah. I did that.
I kind of remember that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love the log flume.
I did, too.
I didn't know.
On a hot day. Up at Great America, I think they called that, and that became a Six Flags, up there in Gurnee, Illinois. I think they called that Logan's Run. Wasn't that like a movie?
Oh, that
movie
was
or
a
something
movie.
Like that?
Yeah, I never did see that. But the fact that they called the log flume hoo-hoo went away and was definitely news to me.
Thank goodness.
And you guys, do you remember this? Also, the Skyway. We used to have at Six Flags, you would get in like one of those little, almost like a, if you were in a balloon, hot air balloon, like a basket, and they would take you from one side of the park to the other.
I remember that.
Yeah.
When did it go away? Was it that somebody fell? What happened?
That's
did
a good
they
question,
decide? I don't know.
I don't think I've even thought of that for a long time.
I
do remember
either,
that.
But I remember being in that darn thing.
Right?
Yeah, I do too.
Right? And looking down.
You know, I love the Old Glory Amphitheater because there were good bands that came out there. And I was usually backstage for a lot of them. Like bands that are a little bit more obscure than Casey played, like Blackfoot. Michael Stanley Band played there.
Blackfoot.
Toto played there.
Yes.
I was scared of the Skyway.
Yeah.
But my mom got me on it because she said, Freddie, it's not that high.
Freddie.
You can hang and drop from it if there's a problem.
She did not say that.
Onto like a roof.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I love
that. Okay, I'll go.
Oh, my gosh.
Trying to get you over your fears, I guess.
I know.
I think somebody did pass away, and that's why they got rid of it. But anyway, Six Flags is 55 years old today. Park admission price for adults, by the way, in 1971. Mark Reardon, what is your guess?
$6.
$6.50.
Oh,
I was kind of basing that on concert tickets, like what they were in the 70s, so I thought it would be kind of low like that.
Uh-huh. You were right.
Well, but I don't think they're that cheap anymore, man.
Oh, no. I remember in the... Getting in when I was in sixth grade, I got season passes with my friend Sharon. $20 at Schnucks for season passes.
Well, that's what you had to do.
I remember a lot of teenagers, you know, at that time would work there in the summer.
Oh,
and there'd
be
a bus stop that would come around and pick them all
up
and
in
take
fact,
them out there.
That's how you would get there.
Yeah,
because you're right; it was on the other side of the earth, and your mom wouldn't drop you off.
Yeah,
right,
pretty much.
Okay, it is National Gingerbread Day. It's National Start Over Day. If you've had failure of some sort, accept it, Fred, and start over again, Freddie.
I have.
Thanks.
And it's also National Donut Day. And I found this from Seinfeld, who is talking about donut holes, and it kind of amused me.
Okay, hang on. The host wasn't ready for the audio, but here we go.
The donut hole. The donut hole. Let's stop right there. What a horrible little snack. If you want a donut, have a donut. Why are you eating the hole? It's such a freaky metaphysical concept to begin with. You can't sell people holes. A hole does not exist. Words have meanings. A hole is the absence of whatever is surrounding it. Okay? If they were really donut holes, the bag would be empty. And the donuts that you got the holes from wouldn't have holes because you took them.
Good point.
Now, if you want, you could take what they're calling donut holes, but they are not. They are donut plugs.
I think that's true.
You could take the plug and shove it in the hole, which I don't even feel comfortable saying for some reason.
Exactly. Oh, my gosh, that was good.
I'm
on a tear right now. So now I'm on season 5 of Seinfeld. I started with, like, in the middle of season 3, just randomly, and I'm watching it. And every night I have to go back to see when I fell asleep because I only make it through, like, maybe a half episode after I take all my medication at night. But I just a couple episodes watched the puffy shirt. And season 4, beginning of season 5, had a lot of the classics.
Love that. I totally love it. Okay. I heard this story today, and it grossed me out so much I'm doing it again. This week in science, scientists discovered yeast that has been growing in the guts of a frozen mummy called Otzi the Iceman for thousands of years. So instead of just studying it, they decided to take the said yeast out and make sourdough bread.
No.
Out of the mummy?
Yes!
Okay.
Unfortunately, this is not a joke, because I read it and I thought, what? Okay. A microbiologist said initially it didn't work. But after 3 months of effort, we had a very, very good sourdough. Is that necessary? Well,
what's the payoff there?
Who,
right?
Yes. What
who
is the,
would try it?
They all did, I guess, but the scientists.
Beyond that, when is it going to happen again?
Right. And what?
Okay, I'm lost on that one.
It just grossed me out, so I thought I would throw it in there.
That's past its expiration date.
Yeah.
Oh. Well past.
Oh, Fred, it's disgusting. Okay, and now we have an official derogatory term for AI and chatbots and robots that we don't like. Mm-hmm. And this reminded me of the video that Mark sent us today.
Oh, yeah.
Ted, will you please describe this?
So there was a, where was this exactly? Because I sent it to George Rosenthal as well. No, but I mean,
it looked like it was in China.
Yeah,
so there's a Chinese robot that was wearing a blue wig.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of kids and families. And literally, and I retweeted this, if you want to go on Twitter, at Mark Reardon KFTK. The robot comes up to this little kid. It's doing this dance and punches a kid, like, right in the, kicks the kid in the chest. Like, kicks him like an MMA artist would. And the kid buckles over in pain. I mean,
it was bizarre.
It looks really, and the robot, it gets very awkward and starts backing up, knowing apparently that he did something wrong. But I mean, he kicks the kid hard.
Yes. Yeah. It was one of the weirdest things I've ever seen. But then I saw this story, and they're talking about if you need a derogatory term for AI or a chatbot or a robot, you can call them a clanker.
Well, that's what this guy is.
He's a clanker.
George said, that's definitely a danger we'll all have to look for in the coming years. What?
What?
I don't want to get kicked by a robot.
No, thank you. By the way, they say that clanker came from Star Wars. Clone troopers would use the slang for older mechanical B1 and B2 battle droids because of the noisy clanking sound they made.
That sounds good, though.
Okay, and then Rockabye Baby has made lullaby renditions of Post Malone hits. Now, here's the original with including Sunflower. This is Sunflower. Oh, no. This is the lullaby.
Oh, okay.
We start with the real one.
That?
Yeah.
Sorry, I got it backwards.
That's okay.
Oh, I know the song.
Sway Lee.
Yeah.
And Posty. Okay.
Yeah, I like that song.
I did too.
So now I'm supposed to play what I already played.
They've made a lullaby rendition.
Okay. does he sing it?
Uh-uh.
Okay.
This is it.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So now if you're a Post Malone fan or you like Sway Lee and you have a baby, you could let them go to sleep to this. I just thought it was,
and is it
wow.
like a whole album of different yes. songs that are lullabies?
Yes, and it's all Post Malone hits.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So you could have, if
wow.
you like, I had some help, which, wow, you couldn't do lyrics for kids for that. So now you can listen to this, the lullaby version of it.
So can I ask a legitimate question?
Yeah.
Is this AI or are people oh,
I don't know.
Playing
they say Rockabye Baby, and I didn't even know to look that up to see whether it was fake.
Might be.
Oh, and that's it for Sue's News. I just looked at the clock.
There, yeah, we're almost out of time. Thank you. Paul Hall is coming up.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork. But somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Raleigh Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Raleigh Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Row. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Row, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to row.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. RX only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Oh, man, that's about the level of my athleticism. I had to leave the studio for 60 seconds, and I promised I'd be back, and I think I was barely back, Sue. I think that's what we determined.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, barely.
I'm out of breath, too. Paul Hall is here from Common Guy Films. We're going to talk some movies and streaming. How are you this afternoon? Happy Friday to you.
I'm wonderful, Mark. I just keep saying semi-quincentennial and thinking I'm actually going to be able to spell it one of these days.
I know. I tend to not try to say the word because I'm afraid I'm going to mess it up. But, yeah, we're getting closer to all of that. So what do you got for us this weekend? What's in the theaters?
I have The Power, Mark, by the power of Grayskull.
Yeah, this is a Masters of the Universe thing, I'm guessing, right?
It is.
Okay, so that's kind of my response. Like, I don't get this stuff. Maybe we are not in the demographic.
That's probably true.
Okay, but explain what we're going to have here with Masters of the Universe.
I did not expect to like this, care about it, or any of the above. And you know what, Mark? It was one of the more fun times I had at the movies in recent past, shall we say.
Really?
We bring all these characters in. And the nice thing about it is they don't take themselves too seriously throughout. There's a lot of humor underneath the action. And the action, I would dare say, is as good, if not better, than any of the Star Wars stuff when it comes to actually having action on screen. You've got Nicholas Galitzine as Adam, who, of course, becomes He-Man later on. Jared Leto's Skeletor. Idris Elba plays Duncan in this. So you've got big names throughout, including also Alison Brie, Charlotte Riley. The list goes on. And you wonder, why did, you know, see an Idris Elba get involved with this type of film? And it's because it's fun. It just seems like a good time. Now, I never watched He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. I have to admit, it was not in my wheelhouse of, I guess, cartoon shows back in the day. But yet, I knew enough about it to know what was going on, to know some of the characters. And it's a movie that has scenes all the way through to the end of the credits, which most people had left for and you didn't get a chance to see. But I'll tell you, if I dare say it, it is one of the more fun times you'll have at the movies this year for Masters of the Universe.
Huh, I'll be darned. And do you have to be like a Masters fan? I know you said you weren't the hugest.
Yeah, see,
but
I don't
mean,
really know anything about it.
Am I going to like it?
Right.
Or,
good
I don't
question.
Know.
You know, it's for a certain group of people. I'm not going to recommend, if you've never seen any of them, Sue, you go out and see it, because you're probably going to walk away going, I don't know what I just saw, and
okay.
I don't really care.
That's fair.
But for those that kind of even have a rudimentary knowledge of that whole time period and this type of series, it's, you know, the setup for future movies in the series. And if there's fun as this. Now, granted, I'm not saying this is a perfect movie or a great movie, like it's going to be on my year-end top 10 or anything, but it's fun, and that's what the summer movie season's supposed to be.
Yeah,
yeah,
you're right.
When do we get Toy Story 5? Is that next week or 2 weeks?
Sorry.
Last week I
misspoke. It is 2 weeks, so it's the 19th on that. Next week is Disclosure Day is the big one that's kind of coming down the pike, and
yeah,
they're all UFOs all week.
Look, that's the Steven Spielberg movie. I think there's a lot of anticipation for that. I'm hoping for good things there. I mean, look, I'd like a good old-fashioned adult movie that maybe all of us, family movie,
yeah,
maybe, that all of us can enjoy. So we're going to hold out hope for that. I did not have time last night, mainly because the Stanley Cup playoff game between the Golden Knights and the Hurricanes, I got to be careful, I've been calling them the Panthers, was so compelling and exciting last night. Goes into overtime. I was going to press go on the finale of Your Friends and Neighbors, but I wanted a time where I could watch the whole thing. But that came out. Look, I think it's a strong season. The penultimate episode last week was really, really good. James Marsden became an awesome addition to the cast. I mean, I've said this before, sophomore years for shows are really hard. I thought this was one of the best shows of all of last year, and I think it had a really, really good second season as well. I'm looking forward to seeing the finale.
And season 3 is on the way, probably going to be out around the same time next year. They're bringing in, it sounds like the rumors that are out there say Joshua Jackson and Michelle Monaghan are going to join the cast next year. So we got to obviously get some new characters, new blood every year.
All right. Anything else? I know what I wanted to ask you about, because I think this is out this weekend. I'm very interested in Cape Fear. Have you seen it yet?
I have got through the bulk of it to this point of the series. You got first two episodes dropped today on Apple TV Plus. Amy Adams, Javier Bardem, Patrick Wilson take on the roles that you know if you've seen the future or the past movies. I mean, the 1960s movie or the more recent one with De Niro in the role of the madman that is Max Cady.
What, by Here's the way, that Bardem. That the De Niro movie, that was still a long time ago, right?
Yeah, it was early 90s. I
yeah,
think
right, exactly.
Yeah.
If wow. If I can remember right, and in fact, there is somebody from that
91.
Cast.
Yeah.
That I hopefully I'm not giving too much away, but there's somebody from that cast that will show up in this TV season, shall we say. And I was kind of like, whoa, hey, I was happy to see that.
Well, you know that you probably know this, but Gregory Peck and Robert Mitchum had cameos in the one from 1991. So I think they're keeping with the history there.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, and it should be. And they keep a lot of what's there, but they modernize it to today. Adams, you're dealing with great actors in the roles, from Amy Adams to Javier Bardem and Patrick Wilson and everybody else on the supporting roles here, make this good. Plus, Scorsese and Spielberg are involved with creating this. I mean, talk about talent everywhere. You got good people behind this, and at least from what I've seen so far, which is probably three-quarters of the series, that'll be coming out every week on Apple TV Plus. It's worth checking out.
All right, so when I've been popping onto Netflix recently, I've seen, you know, one of the first shows that comes up as a recommendation is Michael Jackson, The Verdict. What is that?
This is a flip side of everything you've seen. You know, obviously we've been Michael Jackson, quote-unquote, love in theaters with his movie and all the easy side of Michael, the music side. This is the trial and the verdict. and it takes you kind of behind the scenes. It's really not doing well when it comes to what people are thinking of it on the socials, shall we say. But it's an interesting part because everybody wants to talk about, you know, in the last couple of weeks, the love. This is that dark side. This is the pedophilia trial. This is whether he gets off or not. We obviously we know that answer. And this is kind of all that surrounding. And I think they lay out a pretty decent case for both sides that you can kind of make your own mind up.
Oh.
I think some people really don't like the fact that everything came down the way it did.
Well, look, I think
some of these reviews I would take with a grain of salt.
I'm of the strong opinion that these people that were featured in, you know, the original documentary and the kids that sued have no credibility whatsoever. So I think there's a lot of question marks, and I might go into that one with a lot of hesitancy. I walked into my house yesterday. We were taking care of one of Alexa's friends was over, and her little sister was there, and Hoppers was on in my living room. And I said, I kind of wanted to look away because I know it's on Disney Plus right now, but I never saw that one in theaters. Was Hoppers any good?
Good question.
Lizard. Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. I'm in the meme mode. It's a fun movie. Is it up to the standard of some of the others? I don't think it's quite there. But that doesn't mean you're not going to have a good time. Hopper's enjoyable, and on Disney Plus, the perfect place for it to come home and for you to take a look.
All right, I might watch that one just because I like a good Disney movie every once in a while.
Fair enough.
I'm trying to see if there's anything else. I think you talked about Scary Movie last week, didn't you? Is that opening this weekend?
No, that opens this weekend. I didn't go see it. You can if you want to. I toyed with going to see it earlier today, and my daughter thought it was going to be all young kids seeing it. And I'm like, you know, all these people that saw a Scary Movie the first time are my age now. I mean, when it first started on the scene, you know, it's hard to explain to some people that it started as a Scream parody when the original Scream came
out. Well, that's right.
Sure.
Oh,
yeah.
Of course.
This was that. That's out this weekend. But there's a new Netflix movie with J-Lo. J-Lo straight to Netflix with Brett Goldstein in a new movie called Office Romance, and it's definitely not suitable for work. It's adult in every way, and quite frankly, it's not bad. I found myself laughing more than I thought I would and enjoying Goldstein as the kind of British lawyer/love interest for J-Lo throughout this one. That's over on Netflix for free right now.
J-Lo is one of the Hollywood elites that has a trans child. I even saw this featured in a story today. Charlize Theron, Cynthia Nixon, big shocker there. De Niro, J-Lo, Mark Anthony. I guess their child has been deadnamed from Emmy to Oscar. I mean, you just lose me on this stuff. I'm sorry. Even if you're good in a movie. I think it's just really subjecting these kids. I mean, I see her on the red carpet with this kid, and it just looks like child abuse. Anyway, tell folks where they can find your reviews, Paul, as I end this whole segment on a very positive note and try to get political. Go ahead.
There's a simple way to go. You go up to commonguy.com. You can sign that. And I just put out some puzzle books for people to go ahead and buy over on Amazon. You can take a look at those, Sudokus, number puzzles, all that good stuff. It's my other life. So
oh, nice.
Free to
good
take
for
a look.
You.
Order one for yourself or maybe a graduating senior or Father's Day or any
Father's
of those
Day's coming
things.
Up. That's right.
That's great.
And we'll talk next Friday. Thank you, Paul.
Click it.
Cusimano's coming up next. Friday afternoon, we visit with KSDK sports director Frank Cusimano, who's with us this afternoon. How are you, Frank? Happy Friday.
Good to be with you, sir. Doing well. Thank you.
You know, I always kind of put a caveat over the course of the Blues season where I'm just not the hockey expert. I don't get into hockey as much. I was in Las Vegas a couple weekends ago, and I have friends that are season ticket holders for the Knights, and it was when they were in the series against the Avalanche. And I followed the Knights a little bit outside of any other hockey teams just because I consider Las Vegas my second home. So I could not turn this game off last night. Vegas goes to a 2-0 lead. Then eventually the Hurricanes tie it. It's 3-3. Stone ends up tying it. Well, I guess Carolina has a 3-2 lead. Mark Stone ties it at 18:39. Goes into overtime. And 4 minutes into overtime, Carolina salvages a game or they would have been down 2-0 in this series. But that was a hell of a hockey game last night.
It was. Every time Las Vegas plays, by the way, it's a hell of a hockey game. And I got to tell you, Mark, if they would have just held on there, this series would have been over because there's no way with the momentum they had being up 2-0 and going back home. But, you know, Carolina is the Eastern Conference champions for a reason, so we're going to have ourselves a hell of a series.
Look, the emotional toll that that took on both teams as they were clearing the ice last night was incredible. So I'll be very interested to see, you know, when they go back to T-Mobile in Vegas and play this out. All right, we got some roster changes on our St. Louis Cardinals, and look who's back in the lineup, Lars Nootbaar.
Yeah, and that's exactly what the doctor ordered, because he can't play and winning baseball for a long period of time with only one productive offensive outfielder. So he'll play left field, and very shortly, Nathan Church will be back, and he'll move to center, and I think Victor Scott may go to Memphis. But so JC goes down today as they activate Newt, and he will lead off. J.J. Weatherholt has a nagging injury. He'll get a rest tonight. Maybe he'll play by the weekend. But let's face it, when Lars Nootbaar is right, he has pretty good power, he's a pretty good fielder, and he does get on base at a really nice rate. So it's a welcome back and a much-needed return for Lars Nootbaar.
I mean, the injury that he had was just so weird with his feet. It's been a long, long recovery. I haven't really tracked, you know, his rehab assignment, but how has he done the last couple of weeks, earning, you know, his way, not earning his way back, we knew he was coming back, but just getting ready to play back in the bigs?
Well, he's hit 3 home runs in the minor leagues in limited at-bats. So that's impressive. And I thought that Chaim Bloom said something kind of interesting the other day, Mark. He said that, you know, last year he played with this heel issue. He had surgery on both of his heels, and they think that now that that's been corrected, and boy, he's had a long time to rehabilitate, that we are going to see a more explosive Lars Nootbaar, the Lars Nootbaar we saw when he first came up, you know, a few years back. So that's a really good sign.
All right, we got the Cincinnati Reds in town, and, you know, this is a division rivalry. Cincinnati is 31-30 overall. They're 2-10, though, versus divisional opponents. What do you think about the matchup tonight? It's Leahy against Singer.
Well, we are going to see the worst starting pitching in our division. And the Reds just, they don't have starting pitching. All these guys we're going to see this weekend have ERAs like above 5. So I think the Cardinals are going to score some runs, and I'd be disappointed if they don't win at least 2 of the 3, especially if you consider the way our starting pitching has been. I mean, Mark, who would have thought at the beginning of the season that in June we'd be saying Andre Pallante has the most victories on the staff? And Leahy has pitched well. McGreevy has kept that ERA under 3. And after a couple of horrendous starts, we know how good Dustin May has been. So the starting pitching has been surprisingly good for the Cardinals.
So did you just say, I guess I wasn't on top of the possibles with the roster changes, you're assuming at this point Victor Scott's bat's just not coming around, that he's going back down too?
Yeah, I think when Nathan Church returns, that would be the next move. I mean, look, it may be Torres, but unless Victor Scott shows a little bit of a pulse on the offensive end, I don't think they can carry that bat. I really want to see some of these other guys they've brought up, like Nelson Velasquez, you know, get some at-bats and see what they can do offensively.
Yeah, so, like, what's your take on Jimmy Crooks right now? He's playing behind the plate tonight. How's he doing?
Well, he's gotten hits in his last couple of starts, and he deserves to keep getting at-bats. You can't deny, you know, his 13 home runs in Memphis and that awesome, you know, OPS. Mark, he's got to get at-bats, and I think he's going to be fine.
So I haven't talked about this yet this afternoon, but I just think this whole story about the Chicago Bears moving to Indiana, which became closer to reality today, is nuts. I don't understand it. I don't know how they're not going to alienate their fans from the north suburbs or the north side that will have, you know, at least a half an hour more drive. It's 24 miles from where Soldier Stadium is right now to this location in Hammond, Indiana. I feel like I'm missing something here, but this is crazy.
Yeah, you know, sometimes I don't want, you know, politicians to cave to owners, but this has been going on for a long time, and this is just flat-out embarrassing that your Chicago Bears will not play their football games in the state of Illinois, especially with a team that has a chance to really be elite and maybe even be a Super Bowl team. I think the politicians just blew it.
I don't think it's final yet, but Indiana's acting like it is final, and they're sort of spiking the ball. By the way, I kind of skipped over the NBA Finals. Game 2 is tonight. Can the Knicks win 13 games in a row?
I think they can, but I would bet on the Pacers. I mean, excuse me, on the Spurs holding serve tonight. It's a must game. Again, you can't go back to New York down 2-0. And I think they're going to have to find a way to be more efficient with Victor Wembanyama. His final numbers weren't bad, but Mark, he was like 6-21 from the field. He can't do that and for the Spurs to win. So I think he's gonna play better, and the Spurs are going to play better, and this series is even tonight.
Are you going to spend any time? I'm going to do a little bit of a promotion with Chris Blair here coming up at 5:04, the big IndyCar event at Worldwide Technology Raceway. You going out there at all this weekend?
Oh, yeah. I was there today, interviewed a couple of the drivers. And, you know, look, every one of those IndyCar drivers that were a part of the most memorable Indy 500 I could ever remember, they will all be here, same drivers, same cars. They love this oval track. I think the attendance is going to be great. I love being out there on a Sunday night.
Prime time on Fox on Sunday, too, which is awesome. What do you have coming up on your show Sunday night?
Well, we're going to have Bill McDermott talking World Cup soccer, and we're also going to celebrate what the Sports Commission has done with the St. Louis Marathon Trials, or the Olympic Marathon Trials, coming to St. Louis in 2028. Mark Shriver has really done a terrific job.
Yeah, so they made that announcement yesterday, and that was exciting. I mean, my only comment that I wish they had more track and field events here. It'd be kind of fun to see more stuff than the marathon, but that's just one marathon with the men and the women, right?
Yes, you will have between 400 and 700 runners competing, and the top three men and the top three women on March 25th will qualify for the Los Angeles Olympics in 2028.
And it will finish inside Energizer Park, correct?
Oh, yeah, that's what makes it really awesome. Yeah.
Awesome.
It'll be great.
Frank, have a great weekend. We will we'll talk on Monday afternoon.
Okay, take care, sir.
Take care. Frank Cusimano, KSDK, is busy with lots of sports this weekend. Yeah, we're going to hook up with Chris Blair, who's the Executive Vice President and the GM over there at Worldwide Technology Raceway. I was at one of those races a couple years ago. It was my only open-wheel racing event. It was a lot of fun to watch.
Fun.
But to his point, I'm glad he reminded me about that finish with the Indy 500 because that was incredible. So this is going to be great for St. Louis on Sunday night. We're also going to spend some time with Scott Jaga. Scott worked here in the building for a long time.
Yay.
On KMOX. He helped us out with election night in 2024, but he's back covering horse racing in Saratoga. The Belmont Stakes is going to take place in Saratoga at Saratoga Racecourse because they're still remodeling the big wide oval that is Belmont Park in Elmont, New York. So I think they're back there next year for the third leg in the Triple Crown. And then Mike Morrow, who is the mayor of Grafton, Illinois, they do a big dedication of this incredible National Memorial of Military Ascent, which we've been talking about for a couple of years, mainly because Sue is indirectly related to the mayor of Grafton. You're going to be there tomorrow for that ceremony, and I can't wait for people to see it. I think it's very, very exciting.
It is exciting.
Yeah, it's cool. And I'm going to do my best to get this on the radar of some national folks, too, because
good.
There's no reason that Brian Kilmeade and some of these folks aren't talking about that. Right, Sue?
Agreed.
It's all coming up, plus an audio cut of the day.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers. And someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money. And most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team. But not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Las Vegas was built for stars.
Here we go.
And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.